Rebel Author Podcast, where we talk about books, business, and occasionally bad words. Hello, Rebels, and welcome to episode 237 of the Rebel Author Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Marielle S. Smith, and we're going to be talking about tarot and how to use tarot whilst you're writing. And we also do a live reading that blows my mind. So that is quite the fun episode. So listen in for that. To last week's comments on Aurora's episode, Stella Cruz underscore author says, okay, that was amazing. So many nuggets of wisdom there. Thank you, Sasha and Aurora, for a lovely chat. Hope you and your family enjoy Venice. Oh, thank you. Yes, we are now long back. That's the funny, strange thing about podcast recording. Of course, I record long in advance, often months in advance. So I probably shouldn't talk about the things that I'm doing in real time. I should only do those in the intro, but you can't help it, can you? We're all human. So we just chat about the shit that we're doing. Heather Button said, this was a great episode, Street Legal, but I feel like Aurora is missing out on a key YA market with her film background, graphic novels. She could write a script for it too. Very true. Okay, so in personal news and updates then, I'm writing! At last. I managed to finish the outline. Unfortunately, whilst simultaneously finishing the outline for book two, House of Crimson Kisses, I also discovered that the outlines to the spicy scenes that I'm writing as Kickstarter bonuses and also narrating went missing. So the tech gremlins managed to gobble them up and just devour them because I cannot find them. So I'm halted a little bit and I need to speed up. So I've got to re-outline those and get those written this week and narrated, ideally. And in typical Sasha fashion, I underestimate how long everything takes. So I've been going through quite a lot of accountancy issues in the background, and that is taking a considerable amount of brain power and effort as I transition into new everything. I now have a bookkeeper, a different accountant. It's all quite a lot to handle. New bank accounts, new. Everything is new, and it's destroying my brain power. But I did get the outline done. And I am super excited. I did start writing yesterday, although I was also trying to finish the spicy scenes, so I didn't get the words that I wanted to. So obviously I finished yesterday a bit stroppy. But nonetheless, I have time to catch up. I'm not too worried yet. I also am going to create a reading list for myself, which I'm super excited about. I love, Achiever loves a list. Everybody drink. But I've been desperate to binge read. Well, anything, actually, to be honest, because I'm deeply behind on my Goodreads challenge, which, okay, look, it's not about necessarily the challenge itself, but the number of books that I read is generally indicative of my energy level. And I am quite a lot behind. And of the ones that I have read, they've been audio, which is great. Audio is still reading, but I find that I gain the most energy pennies from reading with my eyeballs. I think because it means I have to sit down, whereas when I read with audio, I am cooking or I'm cleaning the garage or I'm doing whatever. I've also been learning to say no and also learning to quit, which is amazing. So I've quit a couple of things in my personal life and because I just decided they weren't good for me anymore. They weren't good for my mindset. And I'm now doing I haven't quit the activity so much as I've changed the location, the parameters, and I feel much better and I feel really happy with those decisions. It's been really empowering to actually just do what's best for me. I'm not quite sure why I'm so self-sacrificing at times. You know, I will, generally speaking, put everybody else first before me. And which is great. We all need to do that sometimes, but not all of the time. And actually, I think I'm coming to the realization that I've been doing it all of the time and then feeling guilty. So anyway, This isn't therapy, everyone. But I am standing up for myself, which is great and empowering. And I'm feeling quite positive in the background. I'm super excited to get to like vomiting words. The hardest bit for me is usually the beginning, the first sort of, I don't know, 10, 20K, probably 20K, I would say. So the next few days are going to be trying and they will test my patience with drafting. But then that period between 20K and the end of the book is just like orgasmic. Oh, there's a word you didn't expect to hear on this podcast. Actually, you probably very much definitely did expect to hear that word on this podcast. Anywho, in terms of appearances, I'm going to be at the self-publishing show in June. I'm going to be at the Romance Writers Conference of New Zealand. I am also going to be at the British Book Bash on the 5th of July. And I booked Vegas. So I am going to be at Author Nation. I'm not speaking or anything yet. I don't quite know how that's working. I might apply to speak. I don't know how it works this year. But I have booked my conference ticket. I haven't quite booked my hotel and flights yet, but I am going. So if you're going, let me know, because I will be there this year. Probably a shorter amount of time though this year. I'm not quite sure. I haven't booked my flights yet, but I thought I would tell you all that I am going. Enough waffling from me. Rebel of the week this week is Kirsten. Kirsten says, here's a tiny rebel story for you. It belongs to my daughter, whom I will call Jay to protect the not so innocent. She was 4.5 years old at the time and it was Christmas break, so she was home from preschool. She'd just started to learn how to read on her own, a very exciting time, and loved to get up early, go down to the play couch in the basement and read. My husband and I decided to give her that independence, and in turn, she let us sleep until 6:30. Win-win. I just know where this story's going. Well, one morning, my husband and I came down to the main floor around 6:30 with our daughter and found Jay bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. She's normally pretty chipper when she's had a bit of time to wake up, but that morning she was extra energetic. She spewed words at us at a mile a minute and swung her stuffy around and ran in circles around the house. Something was up. I followed my suspicions to our recliner, which was her favourite thing to hide behind at the time. I peeked under the chair and found about 6 empty miniature candy wrappers shoved under there. Apparently, with the aid of a small step stool, Jay was tall enough to reach the shelf where we had stored her Halloween candy and decided that morning that she'd sample a few varieties as a breakfast appetizer. Crashed hard later in the day after all the sugar wore off, but I still smile when I think about her ingenuity and resourcefulness. Needless to say, we have relocated the candy to higher ground. It's safe for now, but she's still growing. The reason I laughed is because my kid does exactly the same thing. We have to really be very careful where we leave sugar because he gets up super early. And if he gets up super early, you can be assured if there is a packet of sugar or sweets or whatever, chocolate lying around, there'll be a piece missing by the time we come down. And obviously he likes to claim that it's because he's read 85 pages this morning. And I'm like, 85 pages and what did you eat along with it? But anyway, I love that story so much. If you would like to be a Rebel of the Week, please do send in your story. We are always low, so please don't sit on your stories. Send them in. It can be any kind of rebellion, and you can email your rebel story to Becca over on rebelauthorpodcast@gmail.com. No new patrons this week, but a big thank you to all of my existing patrons. If you would like to support the show and get early access to all of the episodes, as well as bonus content, you can from as little as $2 a month by visiting patreon.com/Sasha Black. From me, let's get on with the episode. Hello and welcome to the Rebel Author Podcast. Today I'm joined by Mariella S. Smith. Mariella coaches fellow creatives on their path to fulfilling their soul's calling using a combination of life coaching, Akashic record reading, cartomancy, and Reiki. When not coaching, she writes and edits what others have written, and she looks after stray cats. Hello and welcome.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
No, you're most welcome. Talk to me about the cats. I didn't realize they were strays.
I do have, I currently have five cats in the home, four of myself and one foster, but I live in Cyprus and we have a huge cat problem. There's like three times as many cats as people. That's what they say. I don't know how they count these things, but that's what they say. So we have a lot of stray cats. So I'm involved with trap neuter return, which is catching
Okay.
them and making sure they don't procreate anymore. And yeah, so I'm involved with an organization that does that in my area. And so the foster cat is actually from a colony next door.
Oh,
He got really
wow.
sick. He's a kitten. He got really
Oh.
sick, and I'm like, come on. And he's still not well, so
Oh,
he's still inside.
no. Oh, no. Well, I hope he gets better. I have a cat on my desk and another one in my big purple chair. So, I mean, we're huge cat people in this family. So, yeah, I hope he gets better.
Yes,
Although I don't
same,
have five,
clearly.
though.
Yeah, so the I had three. Those were found next to a restaurant as babies. They were just weaned. So
Oh my
people dump
God.
kittens a lot in spring. We got a lot of dumped kittens. So these were dumped, nine in total. I fell in love with the three, so I kept them. And then just before Christmas, one of the other kittens from next door got flew to the cat flew to the extent that his eyes didn't open anymore. And he was terrified of me, but he got so sick that I was actually able to catch him. That's how slow he had gotten.
Oh,
So
bless.
the vet said, well, you have to, like, he has to return tomorrow. And I was like, what do I do? And they're like, well, you just keep him inside. And I'm like, how? And they're like, well, we don't care. So I kept him in my office. And within 24 hours, he became such a snuggle bug.
No.
Yeah, he was like, you can't touch me, don't touch me. And then he was like all over my lap. And just despite me, I had to put medicine in his eyes five times a day. And he was still like completely all over me. So then
Oh.
I asked the people that I work with, like, can we put him up for adoption? Right? Because we do a lot of rehoming in Germany, because the people who run the organization, they're all Germans. And then the moment hit that I became afraid to get the message that they found him a home. And that was a signal
Oh.
for me that, oh no, he's here to stay. Oh God. Yeah.
Oh.
So then I got four, and then his brother got sick. And we had actually had an adopter lined up for him, but that fell through. So I'm actually hoping somebody will show up and give him a home, because he's already microchipped and everything. So I really don't want to put him back out there.
No. Well, I will keep my fingers crossed. Otherwise, that's
Thank
going
you.
to be a very large house full of cats.
Yeah, I mean, there's a limit to what, to the number. I thought three was a lot, so
Two is a
but
lot,
it's
especially
and
when they're
I'm
assholes like mine.
well, the two youngest one can be a bit of a they're a bit like that. Yeah, they're very playful and terrorizing the others. Yeah.
My boy cat is over a stone. He's like over 7 kilos. In fact, I haven't weighed him for a few months, so he could be even bigger, but he's a very, very large cat. So when he decides to sit on my desk, which he's doing, I lose like 70% of my desk space. But anyway, we are not here to talk about cats. We are here to talk about you. So would you like to tell everyone a little bit about you and your journey and how you got to where you are today?
Well, you already gave me you did my bio, so I always start with that. Like, I'm a writer, an editor, and yeah, I coach creative people, mostly writers, who really find themselves stuck or lost, like they lost their inspiration. So basically, I would say that I mostly work with those who really don't know how to go on or move past from where they are right now. So they're really sort of at their end, like they're like, I need help right now. That's the kind of people that sign up for coaching with me.
Okay.
How I got where I'm today, that's actually quite a bit of a story. I've always wanted to be a writer, like something from a really young age onwards, and it was always highly discouraged. It was not seen as a proper career to have, and it took me nearly 3 decades to come out of the writer closet. I've always been writing, like in the me, I've never stopped writing, but I just kept it hidden for a very long time. And this happened around the same time I started to edit and coach other writers professionally. So that sort of came together. Like I took myself seriously as a writer, and I also started working more with other writers. And at the time, I was a university lecturer. So for the first 5 years, my whole editing and coaching business was like a side gig for me. But then I quit academia and I moved to Cyprus. And that was actually me trying to see if I could live off like fiction writing and editing and coaching alone. Like, could I turn it into a full-time gig? So that was what my focus was when I made that move, right? I was going to use, like, I knew a lot of extra time was going to be freed up because I was no longer going to be teaching. And I was like, I'm finally going to prioritize my fiction writing. But, things don't always happen the way you think they will. So within the first weeks of being in Cyprus, before I actually landed, like I wasn't even in my apartment, I was still in an Airbnb. I started having like so many ideas for tools that could help writers and other creative people. And I actually ended up publishing four nonfiction books between August and December.
Oh my
So
gosh.
that was 2019. That was not like it had never been my intention to write any nonfiction. That was not on my radar at all. So that came for me, that came completely out of the blue, but I just rolled with it. So as this was happening in my life, I was also gradually, I don't know if you know the term witch wound. Okay, so the witch wound is what we call the collective trauma that's rooted in the witch hunts of the past. And it has left many of us with this, like who are currently living with this innate fear of embracing our spiritual talents and speaking up about them. So a lot of people are healing from that now. And so that was something that I was working on as well. Like I was gradually trying to heal, which is not a wound. Like when I call it a collective trauma, I mean it's really rooted for a lot of us in past lives
Yeah, like
because it's not.
epigenetics.
Yes, it's like currently there are no, like, especially when you live in the West, there's nothing to be afraid of. You can be as witchy as you want. People might look at you a bit weirdly, but it's not a question of life and death. But sort of innately, there's still that fear that if I speak up and I show people that this is what I can do or this is what I want to do, there's going to be rejection and severe rejection. So as that was healing, I became more and more comfortable including things like the tarot in my work. So this is both in my books and in my coaching practice. And I've actually, so this is a really big thing for me. I've actually just revamped my coaching program. I used to have this 3-month one-on-one coaching program for writers, which was very much based on life coaching alone. So I revamped it to include Akashic Records readings, which I don't know, that for me, it doesn't get more spiritual than that because that has a lot to do with past, but accessing past lives and healing from past life trauma. So I now offer a 3-week and 3-month program for creatives that's completely rooted in working with the Akashic field. And now I also openly include cartomancy and Reiki in my coaching practice. So I think I'm doing quite well in terms of healing that wound. But this, again, this is not something that when I started, like when I started taking myself seriously as a writer, I did not think that this is where I was going. But I'm here now, and I'm quite happy where I am. So.
Okay. So for those who aren't familiar, let's just give some definitions. So there's lots of words in here that we've used that people might not understand, like Reiki, cartomancy, Akashic Records, tarot. Can you give kind of some broad brush definitions of what these things mean? And like, how do they work? And like, why might indies be interested in them? That was a lot of questions. Let's just start with the definitions.
So these are all topics I can talk about for days. So Reiki is a healing energy, which is it's like a universal healing energy, and it can help solve blocks, for example. So this is how I use it in my coaching practice. For example, sometimes certain blocks show up. It's very much based on chakras. So there are, oh God, I mean, creatives can have blocks in each of their chakras, but let's say you struggle speaking your truth. That often has to do with the throat chakra. So you can send Reiki energy to the throat chakra to help it unblock and balance, for example. It's one of the things I do. I do work with quite a few people who somehow allow themselves to be held back by people around them. So another thing I often do is the particular Reiki practice that I'm initiated in has this beautiful healing that helps dissolve cords, like toxic cords between you and other people. So for example, I grew up with a mother who was like, you cannot be a writer because there's no career in that, right? So stop it and do something else. So if that is still bugging you years later, I can do a ritual that cuts those cords and frees you of that expectation. So that's one of the ways that I use Reiki. You also ask Akashic Records. The Akashic Records are, it's kind of the, a lot of people are into that now. It's kind of, it's interesting. It's been around for a very long time, but it's really gaining momentum right now. I always describe them as sort of like a metaphysical library where our where it's where our soul's journeys are recorded, and you can access that. So if there's something that you like, you have this obstacle, you keep hitting the same issues, you keep repeating the same patterns, and you're like, I think I've done everything. Like I've done my therapy, I've done my like, I've healed a lot of stuff, but I still keep running into this. You can visit the Akashic Records. You can do this for yourself, or you can ask, you can hire a practitioner to do it for you, depending on how comfortable you are accessing your own records or how comfortable you are doing spiritual work yourself. And then you can sort of ask questions like, okay, where did this originate? And sometimes it's originated in this life, but you just don't have a clear vision on it. So the Akashic Records can help you see, oh, this is at the root. Sometimes it's actually in a past life. It's just something that you carried along with you. So then the question becomes, okay, how can we heal it? How can we let go of that so that it's no longer bugging you in this particular life where the same fears might not be as relevant?
This is okay. And what was the last one? The last one was cartomancy.
Yes. So cartomancy is the tarot is part of that. It's all card-based divination systems are included in that. So that's from the tarot to oracle decks to Lenormand, Kipper, angel decks. Like there's a lot, but that is using cards usually as a tool for divination.
Yeah, okay. And divination means?
Generally, it means fortune telling.
Okay, cool. I think it's always important when we're talking about a topic that not everybody will know, in depth to give definitions so that we're all on the same page. That's what I do at the start of my nonfiction books as well. So, yeah, I think it's important. So let's talk a little bit more about the cartomancy and tarot cards and like how do you work with authors with the cards? Like, how does that work? Why does it work? And sort of how do you help them using the cards to unblock themselves?
Well, this is the thing. I think I think this, I need to make this really clear. So I do not generally use tarot cards as a tool for divination. So I don't necessarily ask them questions about the future. Like I might ask them, okay, if I do X, what's the most probable outcome? Or if I ignore this, what is the most probable outcome, right? You can add to a certain extent, you can ask questions about the near future, but I'm very wary of actual fortune telling. So for me, how I use cards, so not just tarot cards, right? Cards in general, I use them as a tool to bypass the ego and everything else that stands between us and our own voice. So this could be other people's opinions, it could be societal expectations, anything that makes it harder to hear ourselves, like what we truly want, and what we like deep down know is best for us. So I see them as something that they offer like a direct line to this gut knowing, right? This deep knowing that even somebody who says, like, I don't have an intuition, that's not like everybody has intuitive knowing, right? It's just a question of how attuned are you to it? So I'm allowed to swear. So
Yeah.
I see, for me, it's like tarot cards, like especially tarot cards, because they tend to be a bit more direct than oracle cards. Oracle cards, we usually joke about them, saying like, if you want something to sort of like hold your hand and tell you everything's going to be fine, you take oracle cards. And if you want something to slap you in the face and tell you to, get your shit together, you take tarot cards. So for me, it's like they cut straight through the bullshit. Like the bullshit our ego is telling us, other people's bullshit, society's bullshit, it just goes straight to the core. And sometimes we need that because it can be really hard. Like if there's so many voices out there, so what do? What do you want?
Yeah. I find this really interesting because so I went to a talk, the psychology of fetish the other day. I was doing research for potentially some erotica that I was going to write. And I found it very interesting that they talked about self-consent. And she talked about like this inner knowing. And so she was basically explaining that when people go into what they call is a scene, like where there's going to be some kind of like sexual interaction, even if sometimes these things get prepared like a long way in advance, like especially if they're going to be more than just, like a spontaneous whatever. So sometimes these things are planned. And she was saying that, even if all the way along up until when this scene is going to happen, you've been saying yes and you wanted to do it, if you then wake up in the morning and something is off, then you have to say no, because obviously your like inner gut and your inner knowing is saying no. And if you don't do that and you say yes and you continue with the scene, you're essentially not self-consenting. And I found it so fascinating because I think like I've had this journey with saying no and an inability to say no to things. And it kind of, even though obviously like I'm talking about, taking on too much work or like speaking gigs or whatever, I don't know, whatever. I've found it very difficult to say no, even when my inner gut and my inner knowing is like, you shouldn't be doing this. You need to be writing, or you need to be doing whatever. And it really resonated in terms of like my inability to give myself consent to say no. And so, yeah, I find it fascinating that you're kind of talking about reaching that inner knowing and that inner gut. So, yeah, sorry, this was like a massive tangent, but really important,
No,
I
but
think.
I think, because this is the thing, like for me, it's like a lot of the time, I don't want to say 99 out of 100, it's probably a little less, but often when you read cards, whether you read cards for yourself or somebody else, cards are more affirming. So it's you read them and you're like, see, I knew that. But because you're reading the cards, you can now set, it's sort of like you already knew this. But you needed that sort of external validation, and cards can give you that. It's like, see, like I felt wrong about this, so let's do a spread about this. Let's ask a couple of questions about this, and then the cards are showing, yes, indeed, if you do this thing, this might be the consequence. So you're like, see, this is why. So I do think we use it to affirm ourselves as well. So not always. Sometimes it's like, I'm completely lost. What am I not seeing? Please show me what I'm not seeing in this situation. But sometimes it's, I'm highly doubtful about this thing. I just really don't know what is the right thing to do here. So you can do like, okay, what happens if I do A? What happens if I do B? And then you see the
Okay.
answer and you're like, see, I knew there was a reason I was leaning towards B to begin with. So
So
let's go with B.
can we do a live something or other? I don't know what I need to ask though. That's the only thing. So you might need to guide me a little bit in terms of like thinking of a question, but I think it would be cool to do something live if possible.
Well, I do have a spread, but if you that's like the most simple spread, because we are like we try not to do, because I sometimes do readings that last an hour. That might be a bit
Oh
much
my
for the
gosh.
podcast. Yes.
No.
So I do have a very simple one from one of my books, but if you have a very particular question, I can also just come up with something.
Okay, so what are the types of questions that people often ask? Help guide me in terms of, because I have no idea. I've never done this before, so I don't even know what I should be asking.
Well, people often come with me for like, so like I said, I work a lot with people who are like, I am stuck and I don't know why and I need help. That's kind of the vibe people have when they come to me. And the reasons why they're stuck can be plenty, right?
Okay, so like, why can't I say no?
For example, yeah, like I actually have in one of my newer books, Terror of Entrepreneurs, I actually have spreads around that. Like,
Oh,
you
wow.
can say no because it's very difficult, right? And I'm very, oh, who says it? Is it, oh God, I can't remember who said it, but somebody says like no is a full sentence.
Oprah.
Is it
Of
Oprah?
course, I would know that quote.
Okay. There you
Oprah
go.
said
There
it.
you go. So like, so that, yeah, so that for me is like, that's kind of what I believe in as well. It's like sometimes it's just no, and you don't really need to explain. I struggle with that, right? I come from a family. I was always the odd one out. So whenever I wanted to do something or did not want to do something, they were like, why? So I always felt like I often feel like I'm in a confessional mode when I do something
Yeah.
that is a bit different. And I really want to stop doing that. I just want to be able to say, no, I'm just doing that thing. I don't care if you understand. It's not for you. It's not your path. You don't have
Yeah,
to
like the
understand it. It's my
justification and the
path.
explanation.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So we can do that. And the other, like the spread I picked is about creative roadblocks.
Okay.
Because I knew you were going to ask me about blocks and stuff. But if you have like a very particular question, I can also do like I do a lot of past, present, future readings
Okay. Oh,
as well.
so
Too much
many questions.
choice.
Yeah. You pick. You tell me what we're going to do, and I will try and come up with a question that works.
But you struggle with no.
I struggle to say no. Yeah.
Yes, I'm thinking, can I do something? Yeah, I can do something with that. Okay, but do you, because I shuffled the cards to do these spreads, so now I do actually have to shuffle them on the air. We're going off
Live on the
script,
podcast.
Sasha.
I'm sorry. See, I'm just
Okay.
such a rebel. I should have stuck to
No, this is good.
the
So when people are very much like, this is my issue, there's one spread I love doing. It's called the clarity spread. So it's basically to visualize there's one card at the top, which is sort of like it speaks to the issue at hand. And then you draw three cards and you see, okay, what story do these cards tell me? So it's less about very specific questions. It's more, okay, there is an issue going on and I need some clarity. So can you show me a bit more about this? So
Okay,
that's what we're
cool.
going to
That
do right now.
sounds excellent.
Completely unprepared because I love doing that.
Testing.
Okay, so can you give me a number? That's how often I'm going to shuffle.
Okay.
Not like
Oh.
20, because otherwise we'll be here for a long time.
Okay. Three.
Yeah, that works. That's reasonable. Because
We.
I always
Yeah.
shuffle so long and people are like, why? Like, why does it take? And I'm like, I don't know. I shuffle. Like, this is an intuitive thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that is okay. That's interesting. Okay.
Oh, I'm excited now. I'm interested to see what happens.
Okay, so I'm just, and I will send you a picture of this later.
Oh, yeah, because then I can put it in
But
the show notes.
oh yes, I'll take a good picture of it. Okay, the first card, like what's the issue at hand, right? Like, can you tell us a bit more about that? What shows up is the Four of Wands. So wands speak to creativity and inspiration. And what you see in this card, I use the Lightseers Tarot, which is one of the most popular tarot decks today. And so what you see here is like there's a tent in the distance, like a circus kind of tent. And at the front, there's two girls and they're dancing and they have like tambourines, right? So it's the Four of Wands. So the tarot is all about journey. So it's from the ace to the 10. So you're at the four of the journey in this particular, it's not always relevant, but it's always good to keep in mind where the card is in the order. So the Four of Wands is usually a moment to take a little bit of a break and celebrate like the smaller milestones for you.
Oh my God. Oh, I'm already freaked out.
Okay, so this does not resonate. That doesn't matter.
No, it
I'm just kidding.
my God, this is too much. All right, I'm out. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. So how about we just like wrap this up and say it doesn't work and tarot means nothing? Shall we just do that?
Oh my
Maybe that's
God, this
better
is
for
so
you.
weird. All right,
Okay, so that resonates. Okay.
okay.
Well, good. That's good. Okay. So that would be for me the, that speaks to the issue. And then we have three. So the three cards that are like, okay, can you explain us? Like, what's the story here? So what I find beautiful is that so there's four suits in the tarot. And we stop, like we always say, like, look at how many of which show up. Like if you do a spread and there's only one, so one is creativity and inspiration. It's very much about that. If it's only swords, it's usually a conflict going on. If it's only pentacles, pentacles are about material. So the home, the finances, careers, and stuff like that. And cups are about emotions. So you actually have two wands cards, one cups, and one pentacle. So it's a bit balanced. So the first card is the two of cups, which is very much about harmonious relationships. And this is so the traditional reading is that this is a relationship with the other. But the fun thing is that the longer you work with tarot, the more meaning cards are going to get, and the more meanings you're going to pick up on, and the more meanings you're going to give it yourself. Because sometimes cards show up in readings, and you're like, I cannot read it in the traditional way because it doesn't make sense. So it gains a little meaning for you, like another layer. So when I read the Two of Cups, I know it's generally meant to signify harmonious relationships between yourself and another, not necessarily romantic. That's the very traditional understanding. But I once listened to this podcast episode that said we forget that another relationship is between you and your, so like you and your inner child, or your body and your mind, your heart and your soul, right? So it can also be speaking about how harmonious is your relationship with yourself. That's one. And then so the second card is the King of Wands. So again, Wands is creativity, inspiration. So he's very much at the end of his journey, right? Like he's the master. He mastered his mind. In this particular deck, they often call him like the mogul. Like he's like on top of the world. Like he's like incredibly creative entrepreneur. He's successful. He shows up in the card deck. There's like a lion behind him, so that signifies strength. And he carries this really big stick that's on fire. Like wands are the fire element, so there's a lot of fire symbolism in them. So he's like really a chill dude who doesn't worry anymore, right? Because he's seen it all, he's done it all, he's mastered it all. And then we have the third card is the Six of Pentacles. So Pentacles, like I said, is about material world, and this particular one is about what goes around comes around. So what you see is you'll see two hands, and one is holding up a hand, and the other one is putting coins into the other hand. But some of the coins are also, there's like the infinity symbol, the eight is behind it, right? So it goes, it's a constant back and forth. So this card is often in readings that I do, it often shows up as a warning that we have to remind ourselves that there needs to be a balance, like what you give, you get back. So you cannot expect to get more than you give in, but also you need to be very careful that you do not give more than you get back, whether that's financially or energetically or whatever.
Almost like I
So,
need to say no more.
well, I would say that this particularly the Six of Pentacles is that when you reach that moment, like, do I say no, do I say yes? Like, it's a really good idea to ask yourself, this sounds really marketing, is there a return on investment? And like I said, the return on investment can mean like money is energy as well, right? So sometimes you do something for free, but what you get in return, like me with the cats, right? What I get in return helps, pays it off, right? I feel great that I'm helping these cats, right? Sometimes you're in a situation, you're like, I'm not doing that unless I get X amount of money, because otherwise it's not worth it for me.
Wow. That's so interesting and very odd that it is like pretty much bang on the situation that I'm in now. Even the one that talked about the harmonious relationships, like people know I've been in coaching for a long time and I'm in therapy as well. And there's definitely been like a harmonizing both with my inner child, but also with like the people around me. Like I'm finding things are a lot more harmonious. It's just very odd, very, very odd. So I'm gonna try and calm myself down.
But
And
also, but don't forget the King of Wands, because the King of Wands is very much that energy, right? So that energy of like knowing who you are and what you're worth,
yeah.
right? Just because, so if one of the reasons why you struggle to say no is because you're afraid that people are like reject you, or maybe you're afraid to, maybe you feel like you need to say yes because then you can prove to people that you know what you know, stuff like that. I think the card would say, think about that as well. Why are you saying yes or no? And is it aligned with like the sort of energy that you want to show up with in the world?
Yeah, I've definitely. So basically, over the last, I don't know, however many months, I have been like getting more and more aware that in order to reach my goals, I have to say no to other things that would like help others or would take time away. And in order to help me do that, I've been sending every opportunity that comes into my inbox to a friend for my friend to basically turn around and say, no, you're not doing that. No, you're not doing that. No, you're not doing that. Because when she says no, it enables me to go to sort of step out of the now and like look at the opportunity objectively and go, actually, no, this is going to take an hour of my time and there is no like energetic return or financial return or anything return. I'm just giving away pieces of myself. And it's not that I don't want to do that because I absolutely love, I still do some freelance work for the Alliance of Independent Authors, like, and they're a huge organization that like works on behalf of the community. Obviously I do this podcast. I do loads of things and love doing things for the community, but also I want to reach my own goals. So, there is a shift now for me in terms of like my ability to say no, but also looking at the opportunities and actually some of the things I do now is I pass those opportunities on. So I know somebody else who's trying to build their career or whatever, and so I will pass the opportunity on, so that the opportunity, like the energy of that opportunity, doesn't get lost. Or the other thing that I'll say to people is not now, but like later in the year, because I want 4 months of writing now. Like that's what I'm trying to get to, is 4 months of no other commitments other than vomiting words on the page so that I can, get to a certain number of books and stuff. But anyway, this is really, really fascinating. And I will be honest, I was a little bit skeptical, but I like, I sit in life skeptical about everything and then inevitably get proven wrong. Like this week, as it airs next week, as we are talking, Claire Taylor is on and she talks about the Enneagram and I
Oh yeah,
love talking to her.
I just backed the Kickstarter. Yeah,
Oh
yesterday. No, 2 days ago.
Yeah, I've backed her Kickstarter too. And and this is the second time she's been on. And the first time, I sort of emailed her and I was like, wow, come on and, convince me, which is like the most eight thing I could possibly do, like, come on, challenge me. And anyway, so she came on and like I just shat the bed like about 5 minutes into the episode. She said something. So I kind of like it when people come on and they challenge me and, like to look at these new things. I find it thoroughly interesting. It's a little alarming. And I'm sure listeners find it equally hilarious to listen to me shit the bed live on air. But okay. So let's talk a little bit more about like the people that you've worked with, the writers in the community. Like, what are some of the common blockers that you see writers struggling with?
Oh God, I need to share. And also, I just want to share one last thing, because just what you said made me think of what actually in the guidebook for the King of Wands, and it says be absolutely unapologetic in your pursuit of the stellar.
Oh, God,
So
that's
I just needed to just, that's But this, you say it should be bad, but I'm like, this is why I sometimes like call tarot cards, like they're excellent at like bitch slapping you. They're just like I said, like for me, they're like, girl, get your shit together. Well, that's very much the vibe, and that is why some people find tarot cards really intimidated, which is fine. I'm like, if that's how you feel about tarot cards, start with an oracle deck if you're intrigued by cards, because they tend to be, depending on the which one you get, they tend to be a little bit softer, a little less rough around the edges. Okay, common blockers. Well, I mean, there were the usual suspects, right? Like dealing with other people's expectations, issues with setting boundaries about your creative time and your creative desires, and like a self-worth imposter syndrome, right? I come across those a lot. That said, I think what I come across most in my work as a coach is the fear of committing to what someone's really here for, right? What they really want to create in this world. So whether you call that purpose or a calling, right? And this fear can show up in so many different ways, and it can take a bit of unlayering to get to the bottom of the exact issue. But when I look at it sort of like, from above, what I see at the core is that it's this fear of committing to our truest creative desire or desires, which I guess makes sense because the closer something is to our heart, the scarier it is to actually put it out there in the world, right? Because I mean, you open you up to a different kind of feedback and rejection if it's something that's really a part of you. And I would say a related fear is the fear of not succeeding. Like I deal with questions like, what if you find your soul's calling, right? But you cannot live up to it. Like that is a very real, almost a visceral fear that a lot of people have. Or what if you do listen to your soul's calling? What happens once you've created what you came in to create, right? What if there's nothing left for you to do here? Like, what do you do then? So it's also
Oof.
people who do not, that did not resonate. That's good to hear. It's
That's
like,
a hard, like, I mean, I just reject that notion entirely because I just find something else.
but that is the message I always have. Right. And because some just a little like a little bit of a myth busting, which I'm all about that, is that we saw like this idea that you came here for one thing. Well, first of all, even if you came here for just one thing, there is like a whole path. So there's a lot of stuff to do on that path before you reach that thing. Right. So a lot of fun stuff that you can do, right? A lot of people find themselves frustrated because they're like, well, I'm doing this thing, but I feel I need to be doing this thing. And then I'm like, but what if this thing you're doing right now needs to be done to get you to this thing? And that completely shifts their mindset about it. Because then it becomes part of the journey instead of, I feel like I'm sort of like doing this side quest. I'm like, what if this side quest is actually part of the journey? But also, yeah, I don't deal with that either. Like, especially since moving to Cyprus, I've been saying that because I moved to Cyprus because when I was on holiday here for the first time, I couldn't stop writing. So I was like, okay, if I want to leave the country, if I want to move abroad, like where would I go? Well, let's go to the place where I felt incredibly inspired. And now I'm sometimes saying it's a curse because I cannot stop thinking for 10 minutes or the next idea shows up.
Well,
So I like that's not a fear of mine that I.
yeah, I mean, I will just keep pivoting until I die. I think it's probably the thing.
Yes.
But like I wrote Young Adult until I then wrote Sapphic Young Adult, and I wrote that one book that still sat on my hard drive. And I think I needed to do that because that was a stepping stone to writing the spicy stuff. But like I don't know what to do with that book because it's intellectual property and I hate the thought of wasting IP. But also, like, I don't know if I can write any more of that because it isn't what, like, it doesn't feel like the right path, right? The path that I'm on that's making a butt ton of money is so easy. And I always think, like, when it's easy, the energy's flowing right and therefore keep doing it. So yeah, it but also I don't like regret doing it. I don't regret the time I spent writing that book. That book needed to come out. I think that book, I don't know, maybe I'll query it or something. I don't know, but
But I think the thing is that, and so this is for me very a capitalistic notion, right? Like we created something and it's a waste if we left it with the creation, right? Like it's a finished book. So now we need to get it published so we can see if we can get like something like monetary in return for it.
But what if it's not monetary? Because I wrote that book because I wanted teens to have fiction that I didn't have when I was a teen, you know, like fiction where they see themselves,
Oh yeah, that's
where,
the stuff I write. Yeah,
yeah,
so yeah.
right? So, like that, for me, that book was never about making a butt ton of money. I can read the market. I know that it's not going to make me loads of money, but it might change one kid's life. Right. And that's why it feels like a waste, because I know the potential it has to have positive impact on people.
So then, like from a coaching perspective, I would say you owe it to this individual.
Yeah, I know. I
So
know,
this
but
is the
it's slotting
interesting
it in the
thing.
production schedule.
Yes, yeah, I can see that. But then again, like, so maybe it's not the right time.
Well, I did wonder that, because that book has is I don't want to say it's spiritual, but it definitely there is an energy about it. Like it's a bit of a magical book. There is something still wrong with it as well, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And that whole so the way that that book came about is that I was in this castle grounds, and I walked past a lamppost, and the whole story dropped into my head. And like I've never really had a muse moment like that. Pieces come to me slowly, but like I had a very clear vision of the main character. And anyway, so there's and this is where all the lampposts on Instagram come from, is this bloody story. And yeah, so like it cannot stay hidden away forever, but I don't feel ready to give it to the world, if that makes sense. Like it's not where I want it to be. Oh God, even talking about it, when I talk about it, I get excited about the book again. I'm like, no, I need
Okay.
to come back and do it. But like,
Okay.
I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I can't do
No,
it yet.
so you are probably not, 'cause like you said, on this deep knowing level, you know that there's something not entirely right with it yet. So that just simply means it needs to stay in, well, the drawer or the incubator, whatever,
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah,
vision you
yeah.
have for yourself. And that is completely fine.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks
That
for
is
giving
just
me
like,
that
but that
permission.
is
I think I
like,
needed that.
no, but that is like it will come, and as long as you are, I think the danger is that if you are so stuck on I have this brand, like, and it becomes like when I say it, it feels really rigid. Like I have this brand and I can only do this in it, and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that is how you sort of cut out your intuition, right? That's when you stop listening. But if you're like, I have this, like you said, if the story came to you, that is not a sign at all that you need to write this, except that it is.
Yeah.
Right,
How
that's
dare
like
you?
that's the universe being like,
Oh yeah.
this is a gift. I
Yeah,
give this to
yeah.
you now. That doesn't mean that that is the moment you have to put it out there, right? So you might still need to learn something about yourself or about your main character or about the
Well,
world you are trying to create.
do you know, as you were talking, I was like, oh, I know why I'm not ready. And it's because I'm doing therapy. And there is definitely something in there that like it thematically is an exploration of a wound, right? And so I'm like,
Yes.
that's why I'm not ready. I know why. And then now I think I already know just from talking to you when it will slot in. So that's so interesting. No wonder I've been resistant to it. I feel a lot less resistant now. I think it's so interesting. Oh my God. Oh, okay. I think you may have converted me to thinking Tarot's probably got something here.
I'll invoice you after the
Yes.
show.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh God. How do we? Okay. Let's say you've converted some more people listening.
That's
How
what
do
I'm here
we?
for.
Yeah. How do we start learning tarot? Like, how could we approach this if we're completely new and we're like, oh, okay, like this was interesting. I want to give this a go, see if I can unblock myself, you know, but they're maybe not ready to invest in coaching, but they just want to have a little play. What could they do?
Well, it seems very obvious. You start buying a deck. And I want to say for those who are like, that's not the kind of investment I want to make. That is, there's actually a couple of websites out there where you can play with cards for free. And the one I would recommend, like one of my favorite Oracle deck creators, she also has a tarot deck, by the way, but I have some of her Oracle decks. Her name is Colette Baron-Reed. And on her website, she always offers three decks where you can do draws from. So and these change, right? So she'll always offer because she has quite a few. She's quite a few decks. She's created quite a few. So that is, if you're really like I find this interesting, but I don't necessarily want to buy a deck, or the idea of buying a deck overwhelms me because there are so many out there. This is where you can start. Just play with what's available online. But yeah, when you do want to buy a deck, like I said, there are so many out there. So I always say it's important to pick one that resonates with you. Like you do not, some people feel like they have to have what we consider a standard deck, which is the Rider-Waite Smith. It's one of the most known decks in the world, in the Western world anyway. And many deck creators refer back to that one in their own work. So it's kind of like the foundation, of tarot as a divination system. But I don't own it. It doesn't speak to me at all. Some people think that's a sacrilegious thing to say, but it doesn't. So don't feel you have to buy that at all. Just go, like, there's so many decks out there. Like if you love a particular show, like a TV show or even like a novel series, there's a chance there's a tarot deck about it. So if you want to start with that, like go. And also there's this another myth I really need to bust is that there is this notion that your first deck must be gifted to you. So I say, yeah, don't let yourself be limited by that. Just go out there and browse and pick something that speaks to you. And like I said before, like if the tarot intimidates you for whatever reason, I know some people are a bit like, oh, it feels really intense. Just start with an Oracle deck. Just pick one that looks nice and cute and like has pastel colors and is going to be kind to you. That's a very perfect way to start.
Love it.
So for beginners, one of my favorite tarot resources is biddytarot.com. And she has a number of free resources for beginners. I think some are behind a paywall, but she does offer a lot of stuff for free, specifically for people who are just starting out.
How do you say that
And
again?
biddytarot.com, that's B-R,
BIDI.
no, BIDDI.
Okay.
Y, sorry, BIDDY. Tarot.com.
Okay, cool. Cool.
Yeah. And will be on the tarot, and it's going to be a 3 week mini course specifically for beginning card slingers. And that starts the 24th of April. So yeah, if you're on the fence or just hesitant to jump in, the reason I am doing this course is because I know a lot of people who have this sort of trepidation. Right? They're intrigued. Like I said, they're a bit intimidated, or they're very overwhelmed by the idea of reading cards to themselves. Like, do I have to remember all the meanings? Like, it's so much. If that's who you are, then the course is perfect for you.
Okay. All right. Well, one last question before I ask you the ultimate podcast question. Do you have any kind of tips or tricks for people coming to tarot, wanting to use it to help them maybe unblock their plot or unblock a character? Just some kind of crafty writing related tips in conjunction with using the cards.
Yeah, because the funny thing is, like when we say tarot and writing, a lot of people think that is how I use it. Well, I generally use it to help people work like through their creative mindset issues. But yeah, there's a lot of ways you can help tarot, both in fleshing out your characters or understanding your character arc, and then also your plot. So what I like to do is, like, those character interviews you can find online. Right, to really get into it. You can use any of those questions and then draw cards instead of coming up with an answer yourself and see what that gets you. So like you can draw cards to like, what is my main character's deepest desire, right? And what is the flaw they're trying to hide from others? And what is their emotional wounding? And what was the root cause of this? And what do they need to do to heal this, right? What drives them? What trips them up? Stuff like that. Like this, you can ask all these questions to your tarot or your oracle deck. And then, so that is very much about character building, right? So for the easiest way for me, like just to give a simple idea, like how do you do it for like a character arc is like the past, present, future spread is one of the main spreads. When I get stuck about a character, that this is the one, oh, this is my go-to one. So I asked the question, okay, so like where was my character right before the story started? Like where did they came from? Where are they now at the beginning of the story? So this for me, the present card would mean before they accept the so-called quest that they have to go on through the book. And then the future card is, okay, where will they be by the end of the story? Right. So you just draw three cards. The first one is where were they? The second one is where are they now at the beginning of the quest? And the third one is this is where they end up. Right. So this is internally, right? Like this is how their character develops, like internally. And for the story arc, you can actually do a similar thing. You can also use a three card spread to, for example, prompt ideas about, okay, so what happens in the first act, what happens in the second act, and what happens in the third act? Like, what are the main conflicts or actions that happen in these acts? And if you want to deepen this, you can then zoom in. So you can grab the first act, do another three card spread, and go, okay, so where does the first act start? What happens in the middle and what happens at the end of it? Like what happens at the end and how do we move then to the second act? And especially if you're one of those authors who struggle with a sagging middle, like doing one of these three card spreads for your second act can be a really useful exercise because it can give you ideas on, okay, what kind of action, what kind of conflict, what kind of thing needs to be resolved before they move on to the third act.
Oh, I love
So
this.
yeah, I really love, like I said, I use tarot because I'm a plotter. Like,
Me
so
too.
plot, yeah, so plot is very easy for me. So I don't really use the tarot to get me through this process. So if you're a pantser and you want to do more plotting and you're like, I don't know where to start, tarot can actually help you because it can help you sort of get some bullet points down. I'm like, okay, this is sort of roughly where I think the story needs to go, where the tarot says the story needs to go. And
Yeah,
again,
well,
like this is not set in stone, right? It's meant to be a tool for inspiration, like to help you get out of the way. Yeah.
yeah, and that's so I find it really interesting because I sort of need like an input output cycle in order to generate plots. So I'm outlining now, and I know the end of the trilogy. So I've book one's just released. I'm outlining book two and three. The weird thing is I'm having to like. I know more about book three than I do about book two, which is not
Yes,
great.
I
But
have the exact same thing going on. Yes.
So I think it would be really helpful if, like, maybe I had some
But
tarot that I could
because
use.
sometimes the sagging middle is the second book. Whole book.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
so I know the. For me, there's a lot like what's weird is I don't know if you know Clifton Strengths, but I don't connectedness, I think, is like right in my middle bucket. So I'm not really a connectedness person, but I write very connected stories. Like all of the subplots, all of the characters connect in different ways. And if I can't get it to connect, I think it comes from strategic because of the pathways. Like the path has to be correct. And if I can't do that, I can't write. And a lot of it comes down to character for me always. Like how do the characters connect? What is their past? What is their. So yeah, I actually think I might have to buy myself a deck of tarot cards because I think this
Well,
might be useful for me.
specifically, actually, because the things you're discussing, I have. So, like I said, like I don't really use tarot a lot for plotting and character building. But one of my tarot challenges, which is also in book form, is actually it's called fleshing out the narrative, and that is actually about connecting the dots. So that asks questions like, okay, so it goes from theme to setting to the main character to the sidekick to the foil to the mentor. And it asks questions like, okay, so how are these characters related? And how is the setting related? Like, how does it influence the plot? So it asks all these. So it's a tarot challenge. So it's 31 questions. So the idea is with a tarot challenge is you do one question a day. So yeah, that is so for because for me connecting the dots, I am a connector. But so I also work as a developmental editor, and this is how I know that the connecting the dots is very hard for people, and that's where the idea for that particular challenge came from. So if people are struggling with that, like okay, I just want to understand how it's all connected, that's what that particular tarot challenge is was created for. That's how I that's that was my idea behind it, to help people. Okay, so I have all these elements. How do I bring them together in the best possible way for this story?
And I've actually just realized I do actually have a set of tarot cards. I brought them not as tarot cards though, which is why it didn't originally come to mind. I brought them because they are stunning pieces of artwork and I wanted to frame them all and put them on my wall because they're just beautiful. But actually they are technically a deck of tarot cards, so I could pull those out and see what happens. So I'll have to look at that. But this is the Rebel Author Podcast. So tell everyone about a time you unleashed your inner rebel.
Oh God, I think that the whole me moving to Cyprus from the Netherlands thing, I think that qualifies, because like so that happened in the beginning of 2019. So the year leading up to that, 2018, that was kind of the year for me where I was done with a lot of things. And most, I mean, we all have the moment. I hope that we all have that moment at one point in our lives, right? I'm just so done with everything. So for me, I was mostly done with people telling me what I could and couldn't do. Like I was surrounded by people trying to keep me small and in my place. So it's why I filed for divorce that summer, because I was really done. And with that particular relationship and the dynamic within it. And it's also why I was incredibly fed up with the precariousness of the job situation at the university I was teaching at, which was like moving from temporary contract, or it was insane. So that summer they offered me a new temporary contract, and I'm not going to give you the details because it's a long story, but I don't think I've ever felt that screwed over in my life. Especially like I've been with them for, like, I've done my BA, my MA, and I was doing my PhD with them, and I've been teaching with them for almost 10 years. And I was just, so I was done with academia as well. And like, I was like, that half, like, everybody was like, but your PhD. And I was like, that half finished PhD, like, can be damned. Like, I don't care. Right. I was about to lose my home because divorce. I knew I'd be finishing with the university soon. And like, I've always wanted to live abroad. So I just decided to book a one-way ticket to Cyprus. And I didn't just book the ticket because, you know, I could, but at the same time, I was like also done with the people in my family who were like, you know, they've always made me feel really bad, because I've always had this desire to live abroad at some point in my life. And they really were sort of like against that. So this was me just like, I want to live for myself for a change. I want to do what I want to do. So yeah. This whole, you know, me moving abroad, seeing if I could make a living and like editing, coaching, and writing, that was like, you know, I sold my stuff and I had enough money to last me for 7 months. And that was 5 years ago. I'm still here in Cyprus.
Oh, that's
But yeah, but
amazing.
I think that was definitely, I think I've become more of a rebel since then. I really do whatever I want to do. But that, I think that was the start. And it was not just me doing like one rebellious thing. It feels like I was rebelling against a lot of things, or like I was literally, you know, it's just like it was all coming together. I was having none of it anymore. And I was just like, I'm out of here. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. And a beautiful rebellion, like to be authentic and find like your sole purpose and all the rest of it. So I absolutely love that. Would you like to tell everyone where they can find out more about you, your books, your courses, your coaching, your editing, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, all of that can be found on my website, which is mswordsmith.nl. That always freaks people out, the NL part. But yeah, the company is still situated in the Netherlands. This is not something we broadcast for some reason, but I also actually have a podcast, where we're diving into writing, which is, we're always joking that this is me giving free therapy to my co-host. So the whole invoicing joke comes up a lot in that podcast as well. But yeah, this is, if you want to hear me speak authentically about creativity, spirituality, and my struggles, this is really the place to be. And yeah, I'm very active on Instagram. Actually, I have two accounts. One is Mariella S. Smith and the other one is Tarot for Creatives. And like, if you want to do, if you're interested, if you're like, this sounds really interesting, this tarot thing, maybe I should do this mini course that I'm doing in 2 weeks. You can find that information on my website as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And of course, a giant thank you to all of the show's patrons and all of the show's listeners. If you would like to get early access to all of the episodes, as well as a bunch of bonus goodies, then you can from as little as $2 a month by visiting patreon.com/SashaBlack. I'm Sasha Black. You are listening to Mariella S. Smith, and this was the Rebel Author Podcast. Next week, I'm joined by Dharma Kelleher, and we're talking all about how to write trans characters. So join me next week for that. Don't forget to tune in and subscribe on your podcatcher. And when you have a moment, please leave a review.